We're in Hebrews 3. Turn with me there. Toby did a great job with Hebrews 2 on a Wednesday night. And you'll see some common themes that are going to come up again and again. And I'm going to touch on some of them today. There's a bit of conditionality in there. There's a few ifs in there. Where salvation comes if. You know, this is the way if. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I've got 3 points. I haven't got a PowerPoint today. You've just got my wonderful tie to look at. There we go. My mother-in-law helped iron my shirt this morning. I was very grateful. So otherwise it would look a bit more creased than it does now. Let's read in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. Let's go to God in prayer right now. Father God, Lord, we want to fix our minds on you. Lord, take anything that distracts us away right now, God. Lord, help us focus on your word. Focus on what you want us to hear right now, God. Take me as a preacher out of the way, God. Help your word deliver the message, God. Lord, help us clear our minds of any failings we've had. Help us remember the communion we've just taken. To remember that we are truly, truly forgiven. We can sit, stand, walk, live with a clear conscience today, God. Lord, help us just fix our thoughts on you. We know at times, later in Hebrews, it says, fix our eyes on you. But right here it's saying, let's have a clear mind to think about you, to meditate on you, to really ruminate your scriptures right now, Lord. Help us be focused on your word. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 2. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. You know, I'm going to use this as way of an introduction, really, verses 1 to 6 here, to talk about how the similarity between Moses and Jesus, both being faithful to their calling. You know, faithful here means, the Greek word means obedience. John 17:4 is a reference you can write down, which uses a similar phrase. You know, the writer here builds on common ground. Before it talks about some of the differences. Major difference, the superiority of Jesus. We've talked about it already with the angels last Sunday. How Jesus is greater than the angels. You know, Jesus is greater than Moses, who was this rock of Old Testament times. This rock of the Bible. And it's interesting here that the honor that is bestowed here, greater honor, it means glory. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3. And I just touch on this again by way of just the comparison that goes on a lot in Hebrews between the Old and the New Testaments. And it's good that we learn about the differences and the similarities and what we can glean from them. If you look in Romans, we're going to look in 2 Corinthians now. But Romans 15:4 says that we learn from the things of the past. They're written so that we might learn from them. People say, why do we have the Old Testament if we just have Jesus? Well, we've got to learn from it. You know, God's character comes out in the Old Testament, in the stories of old, in the battles of old. And we've got to learn about it. In 2 Corinthians 3 and in verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, talking about the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory, now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? And then he goes on to say how we can carry that forward. I mean, really, we're talking about a ministry. There's no comparison between the Old Testament and the New. You know, Moses and Jesus, we shouldn't even be talking about it, really. This is not like some X Factor, you know, challenge where you've got, you know, people of maybe quite equal ability. It's down to the judges whether they just... It's not even in the ballpark. Strictly Come Dancing or whatever else game shows we get preoccupied. You know, this is no competition. Jesus is above it all. The glory of the New Testament, it just blows the Old Testament away. Not saying that we shouldn't know our Old Testaments. You know, Jesus also talks about in these verses was a builder. He was actually a carpenter by trade. He was a man who worked with his hands. And it talks about the house that was built. And we are that house. Not in a nice, you know, physical house. Not like we're talking about we need to meet in some fancy building. Hold on, what am I doing here in a school worshiping in church? Well, the church is the body of Christ. We are that body if we put into practice the scriptures that he called us to. We could meet in the field out there on a beautiful sunny day. It's irrelevant. 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to look more at that. You know, Moses did a great job, but it was a pointer to the future. He's part of what the theologians called the shadow theme. The shadow of what was to come. You know, his role was preparation, not fulfillment. Jesus's was fulfillment. And going back to Hebrews 3 in verse 6, it says, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house. If, big if, we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. And like I say, there's a few other scriptures. Hebrews 3 down in verse 14. We're going to come to there in a bit. We have come to share in Christ. If we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. Hebrews 10 verse 26, you talk about it. There's lots of times that there's let's be clear, guys. God loves and died for the entire world. Okay? God's love is not a question. It is for everybody. However much you've sinned today, you might feel like, man, I don't even know what I'm doing here. God's love is for you as much as the next man. But salvation has some principles attached to it. And part of that is repentance, baptism, faith. We need to put these things into practice. And, you know, Jesus is there and all that glory is there. But, you know, how do we respond? How should we respond to know, well, Jesus died, okay, I know that, I'm aware of that. How should we respond to this? And with these points in mind, we're going to look at some of the right responses that the Hebrews writer calls about to make to this superior message. And my title is, How Will You Respond? How will you respond? My first point, listen and understand. Listen and understand. Picking up in verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. This is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they've not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall not enter my rest. Now this is a quote from Psalm 95. Psalm 95 was read every single Sabbath in the synagogue. It was like the Sabbath psalm. They read it time and time again. You know, part of it is like calling people to worship, heed the message, and then calling people to obedience. And it's interesting that the Hebrews writer picks this up and says, listen to this. Listen to this. Isn't it interesting? We can hear some things again and again, but we don't actually understand. Things we can hear again and again. We've maybe been to church since we were growing up. We've heard the same old thing. Oh, well, I've heard it before. Yeah, it's another church, it's another lesson, same old Bible. You know, it's important that we work on not being complacent. And think, it's another message, it's another communion, it's another talk about contribution. We've got to have soft hearts, not hardened hearts like these guys of old. You know, and Jesus actually teaches us along these lines when he talks about why he uses parables. Matthew 13, you don't need to turn there. Verse 13 to 17. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, turn, and I would heal them. And in Mark, it doesn't say heal, it says, I would forgive them. You know, the Hebrews writer is backing Jesus up here. You know, we've got to have hearts that really listen and see what is God saying to me today. And I'm not just talking about Sunday church. I'm talking about our lives. What is God teaching you? That many of us are going through hardships. It's financial hardships, family hardships, challenges in our marriages, challenges in our parenting. You know, but are we really seeing it? I did many stupid things as a teenager. Many of you have shared before, all right? But I did one good thing as a teenager. I took a gap year before I went to university, and I went to South Africa, and I worked like in a squatter community, teaching adult literacy, building things, just doing general project work for a year there. Fantastic time. In the holidays, I got to travel, and I went hitchhiking around South Africa. A fantastic time. Got to visit some game parks. There's all these big game there. And everything. I went to Swaziland, and I went to this one game park. And it's fantastic. These guys were taking us around, and we were driving. They were sending this rhino up ahead. Rhino. And I was like, wow, I've never seen a rhino in my life. Love to see a rhino. And so we were driving through, and there's just all these thickets, like these trees like this. And the guy's like, there it is. Just there. And like, we're all looking. And we're like, there ain't no rhino there. And then like, no, look, and then look, and just keep your eyes. And, you know, suddenly this rhino just becomes really visible. You know, and the same thing when they saw a hippo. And like, a bit more dangerous, the hippos. You got to watch yourself. But again, I couldn't see a thing initially. Couldn't see a thing. And these guys were like, there it is, right there. And they saw it miles away. And then we'd look, and then we'd kind of perceive a little bit better, see what we're looking for, see what was the trees, what was the animal. And then we saw it. You know, isn't that like us? Sometimes we just don't see things. You know, it's great you've come along today, but what's crucial is, are you prepared to really listen and understand? Are you prepared to take it deeper? You know, what are some things that you hear a lot and you're not really listening to? Maybe it's this sermon. Like I said, maybe you just come to church, well, I've heard that about that, I've heard, yeah, I kind of know I should, but I'm not really getting it. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe your spouse has been saying the same thing to you for quite some time now. And hey, why does she keep saying that? Why does he keep saying that? We're not really understanding. Maybe it's our children. Daddy, I want to spend time. Get that along. You know, our colleagues at work. Hey, how you doing? That report didn't go too well. You okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, we... try and be the good Christian. Yeah. Are we listening to our colleagues? You know, are we listening to each other in the fellowship? I want to open it up now. What about the Holy Spirit? How can we listen to the Holy Spirit, and what do you think it's telling us today in our lives? Anyone? Holy Spirit, how can we listen better? What do you think, sorts of things it tells us? Yeah, Louise. Great. Yeah, sharing our faith, reaching out. Hey, why don't you invite that guy there? Talk to that person about God. Fantastic. Definitely a Holy Spirit prompt. Anything else? What else do you think the Spirit says? Yeah, Chris. Right, sure. Rely on God, which is often the thing we forget to do during difficult situations. Amen. Rely, pray. Yes, Sonny. Right, sure, fantastic. Yeah, confess temptations, go through difficulties. Morris. That's fantastic. The wisdom of God coming through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Rosemary. Amen. Amen. Relying on God and not man. Yes, Stella. To keep holy. Fantastic. Herbert. Fantastic, yeah. Amen, guys. I mean, we could go on and share more and more of these things. I mean, for me, following up on people. Often the Spirit during the week, it says, phone that person. Maybe you did reach out, but now you're going to phone them. Go and knock on that person's door. You know, go and say thank you to that person. You know, go, you know, that follow-up for me, you know, reaching out to people. You know, are people trying to tell you something but you're not getting it today? James chapter 1, don't hear the message and do nothing. Do something. Are you listening? Do you understand? I want to just share about a team we're studying the Bible with, who we've been studying the same thing quite a bit, and it's been quite challenging. You do this a bit with teens. No, you know, but, you know, get it? No, we'll come back, try a different way. Anyway, we're studying the Bible, and happens with adults as well, I should say. That's a bit of a caveat. Does happen, but, you know, I studied the Bible for 9 months, so I'm no, like, soft hearted guy when I came to church. And we're studying with this teen, and he wasn't getting it. And there was some issues with him and his brother. And we were like, that's part of the thing. We're just saying, look, you need to repent. Because, of course, we all need to repent, amen, to be saved. Amen. Can I get an amen? Right. And then we need to be baptized. Amen? Amen. Right, just clear on that. So we said, you know, did you understand? We said, why don't we get the brother in? Now, the brother's not a disciple. He's not even of studying age. We thought, let's get him in. Let's hear. So the brother comes in, and we say to the brother, brother. He's not a brother in spiritual sense, but he's the brother of the physical boy we're studying with. Are you with me? He says, we say, how have you seen the teen change? Have you seen any change? And he goes, yes, I have. He doesn't fight with me anymore. He's more respectful. When we do argue, it's over with quicker. He's calmer. He's more helpful. And it was just, and the team was like this. Yeah, I mean, we thought, like, how much did you pay him? That was good. I mean, he's coming out. He's just like saying everything. And we're like, but this was genuine. And we were like, man, and he's really listening. He's really listening to what we've been teaching him about repentance, really making those changes. And the younger brother said, Tim said to him, would you like to study the Bible? Does this inspire you to study the Bible? He said, absolutely. Absolutely. So guys, some great, just share about, we need to be listening ourselves. Second point, encourage, don't rebel. Encourage, don't rebel. In verse 12, the Bible says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. You know, turns away, we know the scripture well, it's a Greek word, apostanai, which means the withdrawing. It's the root word of apostasy, when a church falls away, or when someone literally falls away. And I know later in Hebrews we'll talk about the difference between drifting away and falling away. There's a difference. Let's be clear, we don't mince our words with that. But it's not actually a falling in this sense. It's like a decision to rebel. It's a decision that you take to turn away from God, in the same way repentance is a decision to turn to God. You know, and in verse 8 talks about the rebellion, and in verse 15 talks about the rebellion. Let me just come back on my first point. It's interesting that the same scripture is repeated in 7, 15, and even in chapter 4, verse 7. Just how much the writer wants to repeat it, because I don't think this group of Christians was really listening back then. Let's learn our lessons today with that. But it's interesting that the term rebellion, the root word is bitter. The root word is bitter. And it comes from Exodus 15. We're not going to turn there now. Where Moses came across, he was leading the Israelites. They've crossed the Red Sea, and they come to this water, and it's really bitter. And God ends up giving him this a piece of wood, chucks the wood in, and it cleans the water. But they're already, you know, they're just ticked off. They're moaning with God. They're acting in this way, and there's a bitterness, you know. I just want to do an experiment this morning. I want to ask. I've got some lemon juice here. All right. I tried to find bitter lemon, but I couldn't find it. I want to ask: would anybody like to have a little bit of lemon juice this morning? And it's an experiment, because I want you to describe to me what it's like. Mike, do you want some? Come on. You got to drink all of this. I'm going to give you like quite a bit. Who's that? Oh, Jay. Come on, Jay. I'll give you like. I thought it was going to come out easier than that. That's how much should we give him? Right. There you go. You can drink that. Just have a think about how it tastes. Mike, you want a bit left? It's not for Samuel, though. I'm not. Okay. Amen. So this is like, it's 100% lemon juice. It's got a bit of lemon oil in as well for extra kick. Okay. Anybody else? I've got one more cup. Does anyone, any teens? Come on. I thought the teens would be left. Come on, Toasty. Come and have a bit of lemon juice. All right. Sorry to Aoife. Aoife, it's her birthday today. She's running at that. You got to drink it all. How was that? Oh, look at that face. Let's just, look at that. There we go. There we go. That's a picture right there. Any thoughts? Any thoughts? Ouch. Ouch.
Tangy.
You want some more? Aoife, you can take that. You got to have that. Can you give them a round of applause? Give them a round of applause. Well done. All right. You know, is there any bitterness in us today? You know, does anything not sit quite right with us? Give us that, oh, that tangy feeling. That's just not quite You know that expression that Jay was doing there? Anything doesn't taste quite right in your mouth, in your life. You know, if there is, then the scriptures are saying we're in the early stages of rebellion. If there's bitterness in us, same word, that's, we're getting rebellious right there. If we're not dealing with something that's in there. You know, Deuteronomy 2 verse 14 says actually the fighting men at that time who moaned in that time didn't enter the promised land. It says they all died away and then God moved on. Because that was what it was like. Hebrews 12 verse 15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Deuteronomy 29 verse 18 is another reference. You know, rebellion is just one step away for any of us. And that's why Hebrews 3 calls us to encourage. And we know this scripture well enough. I mean, encourage, see, you know, verse 13, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, do our hearts naturally go astray or go towards God naturally? Do you think they go towards God naturally or do you think they go away from God? Astray, absolutely. Absolutely. Our default mechanism is just drifting. Right away. Just if we just sit here, it's like a boat on the water. We just get taken away. You know, we got to help each other to stay strong. And I'm not talking about sin, just sin here. I'm not saying about, okay, yeah, there's some bitterness in this car. Yeah, you use the example. I'm talking about, you know, purpose and destiny. I'm talking about people's eternal futures. You know, what's their life about? I hope in our family groups, we're getting deep into that. You know, we're meant to be helping each other be saved. And it seems in Hebrews, we're looking in chapter 10, that a lot of the Christians were forsaking fellowship. There seemed to be some sort of isolationism coming around the fellowship where they didn't seem to kind of, the writer wouldn't be saying this if everybody's close-knit. It seems like they're all a little bit like, I'm all right, got a distance, I'm doing okay, don't need your help right now. You know, and the writer says, we need to encourage people. The Greek word is paraclete. And it's a word of the confident, heartening captain before battle. It's used in a lot of Greek literature for naval battles of military commanders, putting strength into sailors and soldiers. Go on, you can do it! You will win the battle! I mean, Phil mentioned Steve Jobs this week. You listen to any of his speeches, inspirational. Inspirational. Tough background, adopted, challenging. But you know what? He said, you know, go. You've got to do what your heart tells you to do. Great, we think of Winston Churchill. You know, we will fight them on the beaches. We will fight them in the trenches. We will fight them on the landing grounds. You know, we think of these guys. How much more should our words be in terms of the spiritual battle when these words are only earthly? Steve Jobs was a Buddhist. Had no faith in Jehovah. Didn't know Jesus. And we're like, wow, what great words. Hey, how much more with us and our brothers and sisters? Are we encouraging one another? You know, very encouraged. We had our second family group meeting in our house on Friday. It was really great. Getting to know everybody, getting prayer requests, getting all the kids. I've got to share, our kids are great. Our kids are great. I was sharing this with the leadership group yesterday. I'm so encouraged to have Gabriel and Zachariah and Solomon and Sabrina and Serena and Karina just around my son. Because my son is just an explosion of energy. I have to try and make contain. And which we're trying, I'll share a bit more about that. And these kids are just a great tonic. They had a fantastic time. And it's just been so encouraging to get together. One thing I do want to say is use the Bible in our encouragements, guys. Let's have a word-based ministry that, you know, it's faithful and perseveres with one another. And let me tell you, it's not the responsibility of the church leaders. Don't say to me, well, it's, you're the leader. You encourage us with sermons. Hey, I'll try as best I can, all right? And we'll do our job. But you know what? It's the job of everybody here. You know, and I'll say, not everybody is destined to preach. Okay, there's different gifts for different times and different places. But everybody has a pastoral role in the church. Let me say that again. Not everybody has the gift to stand up in leadership. But everybody has a pastoral responsibility to care for one another. That is part of discipleship. Love one another. John 13, so that people know that you are my disciples. You know, that's our call. You know, one encouragement. Are we encouraging sisters on dates? Single brothers, are we encouraging sisters on dates? married families, are we inviting dates into our house? Is Saturday night a chill out time, or is it a time when we're encouraging them? Let me tell you, the sin and the bitterness of sex immorality is rife. There's websites out there for showing themselves to be Christian websites that aren't Christian at all. I know of a couple, she soon left the church a while ago. She found a guy on this website. There was an immorality within a few months. No standards. On the image and on the, oh yeah, Christian, great. All looks great. Meets up. It's a different story, guys. Let's encourage our sisters. Let's encourage one another with the word and help each other not to rebel. Last point, believe and obey. Believe and obey. In verse 14, we come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today if you hear this voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with them, was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter rest because of their unbelief. Last point, list, believe and obey. You know, I was going to ask, we run out of time, what the difference between belief and obedience is. Because let me tell you here, the scriptures kind of bring them together right here. You know, it says, verse 19, they were not able to enter the rest because of their unbelief. So, well, are you talking about an intellectual thing here? Guys, let's talk about this. We're not talking about intellectual doubting or belief here. The religious world will go on about that all day long. Do you want to study the Bible? Well, religion's personal to me. Do you believe in? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Absolutely. And I live with my partner, and you know, that's fine. Yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, we're not talking about a lifestyle thing here. We're not talking about obedience. We're talking about an intellectual belief. The Greek and the scriptures is nowhere there. It's nowhere there with some sort of mental understanding of Jesus, and then the body does something different. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy even to think about it. And a lot of these principles don't stand up to biblical study. You know, the once saved, always saved thing we've just taught, you know, the whole big if, you'll enter his rest if you hold firm, there's conditions attached. You know, a lot of these, they don't stand up to biblical scrutiny at all. And we've got to have a conviction about this to help the religious world as much as the atheist and the Buddhist and the Muslim and anybody else. You know, from the author's perspective, unbelief and disobedience are inseparable. That's what it is. Let me throw something out there. Christians make other Christians. Matthew 28. So if we call ourselves a Christian, then we should be making other Christians. That's part of the call. You know, how is your evangelism? Do you plan to study with someone this year, this month, this week? Are we planning to, well, yeah, I want to be a Christian. I want to share about it. Well, get out there. You know, make a decision. Challenge yourself to get stuck in. The world needs people of faith, of belief and obedience. You know, Christianity is not some mind game, again, with this intellectual thought. It's an Olympic sport. It's a marathon. It's not something we play up here and we don't do anything else with. You know, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and be focused on the race. 1 Corinthians 9:24. You know, I want to share about the World Cup. I'm a PE teacher. I follow the sport, generally what's going on. And I've been following the Rugby World Cup. And I saw, I listened to the end of the England game. And I was watching the text as I was doing this yesterday morning. And England went out of the World Cup yesterday. If I'm breaking news to you, Adrock, don't worry, South Sudan, I'm not yet in there with the team, but they're coming. They're coming. But they went out to France, and at half-time they were 16-0 down. The game was gone. They fought back a bit, but the game was gone. But you know what, let me read you some things in the prequel. Maybe you've not been following it. This is in the... Marvin's fired up there, but Marvin, you need to repent of that. It's French supporter right there. Let me read you some of the things, the news stories leading up to the game. The wing, Chris Ashton, the hooker, Dylan Hartley, and the back row forward, James Haskell, were men involved in an alleged harassment incident with a hotel chambermaid during their stay in Dunedin in New Zealand at the start of the World Cup tournament. They later had to apologize. There was other drinking incidents, talking about going to bars where they were getting so smashed, they were doing things involving throwing people around. English captain Mike Tyndall, English captain, watched his role in the team evaporate after weeks of focus on his night out in Queenstown, in a Queenstown bar with a mystery woman, just weeks after he married the Queen's granddaughter, Zara Phillips. You know, if you ask any of these men, do you believe you could win the World Cup at the start of it? They'd be like, I believe wholeheartedly. That's why we're going there. Tosin plays rugby. Anyone who's played rugby, there's an intensity to rugby. They don't just go, yeah, we'll kind of go there, we'll turn up. They're like, man. You know, I used to play rugby. These guys used to rug deep heat into their armpits. I'm telling you, for the pain to get fired up, to run at someone and knock them over. I mean, they didn't mess about. I don't know if you've got any of that going on. Be careful. Be careful. I didn't do any of that stuff. I was a winger. I stayed out. That's the forwards. They're like, ooh. You know, they had belief. So they said. But did their actions mirror their belief? No, they weren't obedient. You went into one of those bars. You said, that's a World Cup captain. He's about to win the World Cup. You'd be like, no way. He speaks it. He says he believes. Got no discipline, no obedience to what his belief is. If he really believes he's going to win the World Cup, he'd train day and night. And I'm a bit disappointed in the team, guys, but I'm making a spiritual point here. You know, they don't live like it. Guys, we've got to live like the words that we profess, we claim to belong to. You know, that's the call. It's discipleship. Whole body, whole mind, everything. Monday to Sunday. Guys are great. Sunday's great. Wednesday's great. It's what we do with our lives. You know, actually, I was reading my Bible this morning. Isaiah came down and he woke up. He said, where's daddy? Joe said, he's reading his Bible. And then he said, no. Because she said he's downstairs. He goes, no, daddy reads his Bible upstairs. That's what I normally do. I was preparing the sermon. So I was downstairs. And he came and Psalm started crying. There's a lot of crying just going on. I was trying to do this, and Joe was coming in, and I was like this, and I was trying to read the Bible, and then Sam was trying to get out the door, and as I was trying to be helpful, and he slammed the door, okay? And we have a rule, we can't slam the door, and he gets told off if he slams the door. So then I said, don't slam the door. And Sam waddles away over there, and he slams the door again, bah. And at that point, I get my fist, and I smack the desk, like that. And I say, don't you dare slam the door! And he runs to the furthest bit of the sofa, and he sits there weeping. Here I am reading the Bible. Friends, you know, he's like, well, you got that out of the Bible, did you, Dad? I mean, if he's a teenager, that's what he's going to say. That's what he's going to say. Is that good reading today? Without sarcasm, but that's, you know, is that what you're learning? And it was challenging, you know, and I had to go and apologize to him and, you know, calm myself down. And, you know, and guys, I'm just sharing. Sometimes my belief and my life don't match up. And I have to watch it. I don't want him growing up thinking, Mom, Dad, they're hypocrites. Oh, they go to church. Even Daddy, he preaches occasionally. But you know what? At home, you want to see him at home. You know, it's scary, guys. We're not far away. We've got to look after ourselves, guys. You know, faith without deeds is dead. But faith can be accompanied by rebellious deeds that can either reveal that the faith is worthless in the first place, although it can corrupt the genuine faith. Let's make sure our life, our faith, our belief and our obedience go together. In conclusion, guys, we are saved if we follow the calling of Jesus, but there is a conditionality applied. Let us today make decisions to listen and understand the word, take it into our very hearts, not be numb, not be complacent to what God is trying to tell us, not just from the pulpit, but in our very lives. Let us encourage one another deeply, like a leader of an army would for each other, so that we will not rebel, and let us believe and obey. Amen. Thanks very much for listening.